want to welcome you to week three of our four-week series on what grace is all about. If you've missed the first 2 weeks, we are, as always, placing those in their entirety on our website. I invite you to go back and check those out. I believe these are important to the life of our church and what God is doing here at Grace. And so again, invite you to spend a few moments. I usually don't go over 35 minutes. You've got that amount of time, hopefully, to check those out on our website and get caught up to where we are in our mission and vision. I want to bring to your attention again on the back table as well as at our Welcome Center is a printed copy of everything that I'm speaking about the last 2 weeks and then this week and next week as well. I invite you to pick that up. It includes the scripture references that I am using. Also, you can take a look at our website. All of that information is also available to you there. I'll say again, as I'll say every week during this short four-week sermon series, everything that we are speaking about, I've searched the scripture for. I want us to be rooted in scripture. I don't want us to be off somewhere that scripture does not take us. We have a guide. We have a manual to our church and to the mission. And so we always place God's word at the center of what we're doing here. And so I want you to hear that from me. We will articulate it in some different ways, but we will base it in scripture. We are rooted in the great commission that Jesus gives to his disciples in Matthew 28. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I've commanded you. And Jesus gives us a great promise at the end of that verse. He says, and behold, I am with you always, even until the end of the age. Church, we are not in this alone. Praise the Lord. We are not in this alone. Christ has promised his presence with us and certainly fulfilled that in the coming of the Holy Spirit and its presence here in the church. So nothing that we're going to share can replace these scriptural mandated missions that were given to us straight from God's word. But let's talk about how we're going to articulate that as a church, how we're going to live out that mission. Grace Baptist Church exists to make disciples of Jesus through the worship of God, through equipping believers, through living in community, and through sharing the gospel with the world. And we spent the first week together talking about what it means to worship God, how it is a response to God's mighty acts in Christ Jesus. We express that corporately. We do that in here on Sunday mornings and at other times when we gather together corporately to worship. We do that personally. I've challenged you and challenged all of us to spend time worshiping God privately as we read his word, as we meditate on his word. We express our worship through our prayer, both corporately and again privately, as we lift our prayers and petitions, as we pray, as we're taught in scripture to lift things up to the Father. And then we also express our worship through our giving. We believe all that we have, all that we have been given, comes from God, and so we worship him by giving back to him our tithes and our offerings. Last week we talked about equipping believers. We talked about how we are equipped by serving, by doing the work of ministry in Ephesians chapter 4. And we're equipped specifically in some areas through our equipped classes that meet on Wednesday night as we walk through all that life throws at us. And then we mentioned last week, if you have more personal needs, we have a wonderful biblical counseling department that you can reach out to and be equipped to live life biblically. And today we're going to talk about community. What does it mean to live in community? And as I've tried to do each week, I'm just going to give you a dictionary definition of community. So at its most base level, if you take church speak out of it and just define community, it's defined as a feeling of fellowship or togetherness with others as a result of sharing common attitudes, interest, or goals. That's community. Now, I want us to expand that, though, because I believe biblically that's the root of what we want to do, but it's just the beginning of what community really looks like. Now, I'm going to tell you, I'm super passionate about this part of our mission. Not that I'm not about the others, but I'm very passionate about community, and I'll tell you why. Becky and I, my wife and I, have been married for almost 23 years in December. our entire married life, we have never lived closer than 2 hours away from any of our immediate family. Now we're even further away from our immediate family. We have always found community in our church family. So it's very important to me of this aspect of what we're talking about, this aspect of togetherness, because when we're raising a family, when we're having babies, when we're sick, this is our community, this is our family. And so hear me say this, I believe in this part of our mission, I believe in it deeply, I believe it's communicated through us well through several places in Scripture, and I've lived it well. I'm so thankful for the churches that have invested in my life and in my marriage and in Becky and I and raising our kids. We love being together in a community of believers. And we have that certainly here at Grace. As we're removed from our families, we certainly feel that here. So hear me say that from the very beginning. I'm passionate about this because I've seen it work. I've seen God at work in His church, and I believe in it passionately. So, and I want you to hear that from me today. If you got your Bible, let's go ahead and turn to Galatians chapter 6. We've been looking at a lot of Paul's letters. Paul's letters were written specifically to churches, and so no better place for us to start than a letter that was written to churches. We are a church, obviously, right? And so we can learn from these letters from Paul, even though they were written many centuries, many thousands of years ago even. They speak as God's word always does, living and active, and so speak to us today. And in Galatians chapter 5, Paul's been talking about this conflict, this wrestling match between the flesh and the spirit, and how we can have victory over the flesh by crucifying the flesh and by walking by the Spirit. And so in our text today, as we get to the end of the book of Galatians, and I've preached through the entire book of Galatians, so you can go back and check that out if you want to sometimes. But in Galatians chapter 6, Paul begins to speak about some practical results of the victory that we have, this victory over the flesh, the availability we have to crucify the flesh and live in the Spirit. And he begins to talk specifically about some relationships among this congregation, among this young church. And we're going to take these five verses and learn from them today. So let's read together Galatians 6, 1 through 5. Words will be here on the screen if you don't have a Bible in front of you there. So Paul says, "Brothers, if anyone is caught in any transgression, you who are spiritual should restore him in a spirit of gentleness. Keep watch on yourself, lest you too be tempted. Bear one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. For if anyone thinks he is something when he is nothing, he deceives himself. But let each one test his own work, and then his reason to boast will be in himself alone and not in his neighbor, for each will have to bear his own load." Now may God bless the reading and the teaching of His Word. I encourage you to keep your Bible open. We'll refer back to that. As you see in the beginning of chapter 6, Paul begins with an exhortation of community. What does it look like for a group of change, Spirit-filled believers to come together and live together as a church and do life together? And I point out that point, that Spirit-filled, changed believers, because you understand this is something that when the world looks at, they say, that's impossible. You can't get diverse people. People from different backgrounds, people with different ideas, people with different thoughts. That's just not going to happen. I mean, you get a group of people together and ask them to come together under a common cause, you realize you're setting yourself up for some difficult conversations, aren't you? You've been there. You work, most of you, right? You understand how that is. You've got to have a common bond, a common goal, a common something as we've defined community. And we have to have that, or we really won't ever experience community. Now we know, and you know, that common bond is Jesus Christ, isn't it? We must come together under Him as the unifying factor in all that we do. Now how do we do that? Paul says in verse 2, he begins verse 2 by simply saying, I want you to bear one another's burdens. I want you to bear one another's burden. Now there's something implied here, isn't there? It is implied, and I think you can see this, that you're going to have burdens. It didn't say if burdens happen to come your way at some time in life, bear one another's burdens. It simply says, bear one another's burdens. If you've been alive for more than 5 minutes, you would agree that you shall have some burdens, right? You know this, right? Now it can be small things. Woke up this morning, man, the toilet won't quit running. I hate that thing, you know? I got to take it apart and do something with it. Small thing like that. It can be trivial, but it's a burden. You're like, man, something else to deal with. Some things are way bigger than that. You go to the doctor and you get a diagnosis that you didn't see coming from anywhere. A loved one that's badly sick. You understand that the whole gamut of things make up life, don't they? All the way from the trivial to the absolutely serious and life-changing. There's no caveat here for what kind of burdens we're called to bear, is there? Paul simply says to the church, I want you to bear one another's burdens. Now, you often get to a point, I'm a little stubborn. I'll admit that. My wife is in the second service. She would admit that as well, okay? I'm a little stubborn. And sometimes I'll even go to Scripture and begin to quote Scripture and say, you know, I don't need anyone to help me. I cast all my cares upon the Lord because He cares for me. First Peter chapter 5, I'm going to cast all my anxieties on the Lord. Now, don't hear me saying those scriptures are not absolutely true. They are true. But we often use them as an excuse for us to not share what's going on in our life or not to share burdens with one another. Don't get me wrong. Take your burdens to the Lord first. That's absolutely where you should go with them. But do you understand that sometimes the way God provides answers to your burdens is through other people? I can prove it in Scripture. 2 Corinthians. Paul wrote a letter to the church at Corinth. He said, for even when we came into Macedonia, our bodies had no rest. We were afflicted at every turn, fighting without and fear within. Now that sounds burden, doesn't it? It's a burden. But God, verse 6, who comforts the downcast, comforted us by what? The coming of Titus, a real flesh and blood guy, who came to him and provided for him the comfort that he needed in that time. Now, that's one example in Scripture. See, it's okay for us to need each other. It's okay for us to do exactly what Paul says in Galatians chapter 6, to bear each other's burdens. Sometimes I need you, and you might need me sometimes. And that's okay, because as brothers and sisters in Christ, that's exactly what we're called to do. It says at the end of verse 2, he says, bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. So that begs the question, what is the law of Christ and how can I fulfill it by bearing one another's burdens? Well, you're in luck if you've been here with us. I've taken you through the entire Gospel of John almost, okay? If you haven't been here, it's all online. It'll take you a few weeks to watch that one though, okay? John chapter 13, Jesus is in the upper room with his disciples. He washes their feet, humbly serves them and bows and does that. Judas leaves the room. The betrayer has left the room, and Jesus begins to speak to his disciples about a new commandment. He says, a new commandment I give to you. I want you to love one another. By this, all men will know that you are my disciples, if you love one another. All throughout Scripture, Jesus speaks of this idea of love, of loving like Jesus loved. And so when we bear one another's burdens, we begin to fulfill, the law of Christ. Love God and love other people. You understand this? We're doing exactly what Jesus told us to do if we bear one another's burdens. Now, verses 3 through 5, I'm going to briefly hit on just for the sake of time, but they are worth our attention. Paul reminds us in verse 3 that none of us are above this ministry of bearing burdens. None of us must think too highly of himself because we are deceived. We are not above needing to have someone bear our burdens, nor are we above needing to help bear burdens for someone else. None of us are exempt for that. None of us. He begins to speak in verses 4 and 5 about testing our own works and about looking at a reason to boast in ourself and not in our neighbor, and each one bearing his own burden. You think, well, that's almost the opposite of what he just said in verse 2. He said, I need someone else to bear my burdens. And now he's saying to bear your own burdens. There's a little nuance in language here that's very important to us. There's two different kinds of burdens. The ESV translates the second one, load, in verse 5. Each one will bear his own load, while as the other word is translated into burdens. There is a burden or a load that only you and I can carry. That's the burden of sin and guilt that all of us fall under. The Bible tells us that all of us are sinners and fall short of the glory of God. Isn't that true? We know that we need a Savior and we need salvation. And that burden, that load, folks, I can't carry for you. And you can't carry for me. That is a personal decision that you must make and a personal decision that I must make to come under the Lordship of Jesus Christ, to admit that we're sinners, believe that He can save us, and confess Him as Lord and Christ of our life. That's the load only I can bear. The burdens we're talking about today are the burdens of trials, the burdens of difficult days, the burdens of all the things that life throws at us. But hear me say in this first, you must first carry your own load of sin and guilt and make Jesus the Savior and Lord of your life to truly experience freedom and salvation that only He can give. So what we find here is a load that is heavy, only I can bury, yet a load that we can help each other carry. And you may be today here an astute student of Scripture, and notice that I skipped verse 1. Or were you paying attention? Just making sure. I'm testing you. Justin, you didn't speak about verse 1. You went straight to verse 2, and I try to be good about covering all of the verses. I'll tell you why we're going to go back to verse 1, because life in community is real, isn't it? It's messy. It's real life situations, and things don't always go perfectly. This is not a movie, is it? It's real life. And so we come to verse 1 oftentimes, and we read it, and we say, brothers, if anybody is caught in transgression or sin, you're like, oh, I know a lot of sinners. I'm going to go ahead and point out their sin to them. I feel like that's my spiritual gift, you know? By the way, that's not a spiritual gift, okay? We go here and we often see this and we're like, if anybody's caught in sin, yes, yes, I am going to be the restorer of these worldly sinners. We got to be careful there, don't we? The word here is a word of restoration in a spirit of gentleness, and Paul even warns, you better keep watch on yourself, lest you too be tempted. If we walk by the Spirit, we'd love more. If we loved more, we'd bear one another's burdens more. If we bore one another's burdens more, we would actually work harder to restore a brother or sister who has fallen into sin. You see the order of that? I gotta love, I gotta bear burdens. And then I can work to restore a brother or sister. Because let me tell you, the truth is one day you may need restoration. You may be the one that's caught in something. You may be the one that is needing to be loved. The key is found in the one another, isn't it? That one another. Bear one another's burdens. I'm not superior. I'm not lording over you. I'm saying if you're heavy laden, if you're burdened, let me come along beside you and bear those burdens with you. If you're caught in sin, God, give me the grace to help restore you. I can only do that when I walk by the Spirit. I can only do that through the power of Jesus Christ. Listen, I've been in messy situations. I shared with you about being in community with other people. I've sat in a room with a husband who had betrayed his wife. Blatantly blew it, you know, and came to us, and we could have said to him, man, you're the worst. I don't know how you can look at yourself in the mirror. Instead, my call was to love and to restore. One day I may be, you understand, because Christ loved me, I love others. Community. Real life together. So the question for us here at Grace is, how are we going to live that out? How are we going to do that? And that's our application today. We believe that as members of God's family, we grow deeper in our walks with Jesus in community as we live life together. We do this. This comes straight from the scripture, which you'll find in that brochure and on the website. I can't cover them all today. By extending hospitality, we covered this by bearing one another's burdens, and we do that by praying for one another. So practically, what does that look like here? The first thing is we believe that's lived out in our community groups. Some people may call these Sunday school, life groups, home groups. I've heard all the names. We call them community groups here. Community groups are a place where people gather together. They do a couple of things in there. Number one, we always want to make the study of God's word primary. They will open God's word together. They will study it together. They will learn from it. In those groups, they will also pray for each other. We believe, as we've shared before, in the power of prayer. These groups are more intimate gatherings, and so they can come together and they can pray for each other. I see our prayer list from all of our groups, and I love how they rally around each other and pray for each other. It's really powerful. They'll come together and serve. I've challenged our group leaders to quarterly take their community groups out and do something and serve our church or serve the community, share the gospel somewhere, go out and be on mission together. They're going to simply come together and live life and do it together. I love it. Becky and I had the chance to start a group. I'm trying to remember the year. I don't remember. The years blur together. Ethan was a baby, so it was 2005, 2006, 2007, something like that, anytime. We got together and we started a group, and everybody had babies, you know, and everybody was young parents, and we all came together, and on Sunday nights, once or twice a month, we'd go over to everybody's house, and listen, it was a hot mess, is what it was, when you got babies running around everywhere, and stuff flying and breaking. I'm just, you know, it's real life, you know, when you get 14 kids and a bunch of adults together in a house, don't own anything expensive, okay? So, you know, we did that. We got together. We studied God's word and went in between herding kids. And, you know, we got together and ate and did life together. Man, some of the sweetest times I've ever had in our marriage and in our ministry was doing life together like that. When life was hard and somebody got sick, those were the first people there. We had a baby. They brought me more food than I could ever eat. It was awesome, you know. We were just doing life together. 1 Peter 4:7-11, Peter's talking about this idea of coming together and using our gifts and loving on each other. And he says, you can just listen to this. He says, above all, keep on loving each other earnestly. He tells us to show hospitality to one another without grumbling and use our gifts to serve and love each other. Community groups meet at 9:45 and 11:15 every Sunday morning. We've got groups of all ages and sizes and places. And listen, I believe community groups start at birth. We're not too young to learn about community. You need to learn to share your toys. Some of you need to learn to share your toys now, right? We learn to do life together in our preschool department, in our children, in our student ministry, in our adults. It's important for us to come together, and we do that here. If you're missing out on a group, I think you're missing out. And I say that unashamedly. Listen, I want you to hear. I want you to hear the word. I want you to come see. But I love the intimacy of our community groups. If you want to join a group, if you're looking for a group, there's an orange card in the seat in front of you that says connect. One of the boxes is community group. You check that. You put that in. We'll get in touch with you. We'll give you a group to go check out. We're starting new groups. We just started a new group. It's meeting right now during this hour of young adults. We've got new things happening all the time. We want you to be a part of our community groups. I could talk about that for a long time, but I'm going to run out of time today. Secondly, in our application, we believe in men's and women's ministry. Sometimes there are a need for deeper community among men and among women. Sometimes the scripture teaches us in Proverbs, iron sharpens iron for men, women, Proverbs 31, woman, Romans chapter 12, verses 9 through 13 speak to that. I won't read those today, but all of these are valuable things. Sometimes just we need to get together with men We're going to go to beast feasts. Come on with us. Hear God's word and eat, you know. Women, great things happening here in our women's ministry. Bible studies and coming together and community and fellowship and all of those things. I'm excited. I'm going to share with you today. We've spent almost all of 2019, I have, meeting with a small group of men to kick off a men's ministry here at Grace in 2020. We've been praying and working slowly through what our men's ministry is going to look like in 2020, and we're excited. We're going to be able to roll that out in the beginning of the year. I'm praying God's going to do great things. We already have a wonderful women's ministry. Joy and our women's ministry team do a great job. Listen, guys, gals, be a part of what's going on in those men's and women's ministries. You'll be blessed by that. And then lastly, church-wide fellowship. Hey, listen, I'm Baptist through and through, folks. I enjoy a good church-wide fellowship, but we don't do them without purpose. We don't just gather together to gather together. We're a church of three services, a church of diversity, and a church of, and I love that, but these are opportunities for us to come together. For us to come together and meet people that we don't know and come together under, you know, Acts chapter 2 is the word on that. You've heard that scripture before, as they gathered together and devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and fellowship and breaking of bread. And as they gathered together, more and more were added to their number each and every day. Be a part of our church-wide fellowships. I have a great opportunity for you. October the 13th, just a few weeks away. We're going to have our annual church-wide picnic. It's going to be 20 degrees cooler outside. Well, I probably should put that back in, shouldn't I? Yeah. Okay, 5 degrees. 5 degrees. It's going to be cooler. We're going to gather together out on the lawn, and you can bring a... I want you to sit with somebody you don't know. Just meet somebody. Say hello to them. Get to know them. What's your story? How'd you come to Grace? How'd you get to know Jesus? What community group are you a part of? It's a great opportunity to get together. We do a chili bowl in January. We do all kind of fun stuff. So I want you to come together. Baptism celebrations, we started doing quarterly. We get the whole church in here, standing room only. Listen, we are a church of many people, but we are one body. We want to continue to provide opportunities for church-wide fellowship. I want you to be a part of them. Well, say, Justin, that sounds really good, but I'll tell you, that's difficult sometimes. I struggle with community sometimes. I struggle with relationships. I struggle with wanting to commit or get involved in something like that. Well, I'll tell you, I've gained a lot of insight over the years through this little book, Life Together, by Dietrich Bonhoeffer, German pastor. Executed by the Nazis in World War II. And he wrote a little book. You can probably pick this up for $5 somewhere, probably. This is my yellowed copy from 20-some years ago. And the first chapter is called Community. And I gained a lot of insight from Bonhoeffer's community. I want to close with, I resisted the temptation to read the whole first chapter to you, but I knew that we didn't have that kind of time. It's actually amazing, and you should read it if you have time. It's probably free somewhere on the internet at this point, so I still buy paper books. I'm that kind of guy, so that's okay. Let me read you just a few sentences here, and just a reminder to us as we close. Christianity means community through Jesus Christ and in Jesus Christ. No Christian community is more or less than that. Whether it's a brief, single encounter or the daily fellowship of years, Christian community is only this. We belong to one another only through and in Jesus Christ. What does that mean? It means first that a Christian needs others because of Jesus Christ. It means second that a Christian comes to others only through Jesus Christ. It means third that in Christ we have been chosen from eternity, accepted in time, and united for eternity. So much more I could read, but I want to remind you today, the foundation of community here at Grace, the foundation of community at any church is nothing but Jesus Christ. He is our unifier. He is the one that allows us to come together. As we are filled with the Spirit of God, we find that we are able to forgive. We are able to show grace and mercy to those that are around us. May God continue to make us a church under the authority of Jesus Christ. living out community with one another. It's a beautiful picture. If you're not a part of it, I want to encourage you today to find a place to do so. Would you bow with me for just a moment? I encourage you, as we come into a time of invitation, a time of response, first, I must ask you, do you know the saving power of Jesus Christ? Have you confessed Him as Lord and Savior in your life? Have you admitted your need for Him and your inability to save yourself? That's where community must begin. Community must begin with a relationship with Jesus Christ. If you need to know Him today, please come speak to one of our prayer partners. Come and talk to us and let us help you understand what it means to know Him. Maybe you're here today and you say, I do know Him. I know Him, but I struggle with community. I need to be a part of a community of believers. Maybe you just need to bow right where you are, kneel right where you are, come to the altar, come to a prayer partner and admit that, Lord, I need help in community. I pray that you would allow Him to call you to that today and you'd be obedient to Him. So God, we simply come in this moment and we ask, Lord, for just a moment, Lord, for us to respond to you, to hear from you. When we open your word, when we read it, it is living and it is active. So it speaks to us. And God, our call is to respond in obedience to it. And so God, you speak into the hearts of each and every person here, individually, by the power of your Spirit. Lord, speak. If salvation needs to come, God, would you bring salvation? God, if surrender needs to come, would you bring surrender? Lord, if release needs to come, bring it, Father. Whatever needs to be brought, you bring it today. God, rid us of distractions for just a moment. Lord, may we respond to you in obedience in this time. In Jesus' name, amen.